We're trading. Stephen is back there with Michelle. And so he is not going to be up front today, which I know y'all will miss him and wish he could be here. But he wanted to trade today to make sure he's getting the point across that we need kids back into the, we need people back there leading back in the children's church area. And he, as the head pastor, wants to make sure that he serves back there as well, because it's all our responsibility as a community to serve back in the children's area. So he is back there today. As you heard me tell the kids, we are going to be talking about the Canaanite woman's faith, and we're going to be looking at that. That's in Matthew 15 and Mark 7. So if you want to go ahead and mark those two spots, Matthew 15, 21 and Mark 7, 24, if you want to mark those. Entering into new territory keeps happening to us as we continue to go on this course, on this thing called life. And if we look at new territory broadly, we enter into new territory almost every day. Almost in every way, we are going to constantly enter into new territory, regardless if we want to or not. Perhaps we are entering kicking and screaming, and other times excited and anticipating. When we enter into new territory, sometimes it can be like we're approaching on a wagon train, like as a pioneer. This is really new discovery. And then other times, it's as if we want to put on the brakes, not go into that new territory. Sort of like the Roadrunner picture, or the coyote when they're doing that cartoon, how they come up to the cliff and they put on those brakes the whole way. Sometimes we want to not enter into new territory. But this week alone, I want you to think, did you experience new territory? Stan experienced new territory, right? He started a new business. The McDowells, their whole family has been experiencing new territory. We know from the birth of a new baby and to also the marriage of Sean and Linda. And we're so glad you're back. We hope you had a wonderful time. We hear you did. Heard you ate a lot. That's awesome. Our family, we just experienced new territory. We went past Knoxville. We went all the way to Nashville. We've never traveled past Knoxville. So we experienced new territory this past weekend. So you see, entering new territory can be something to be excited about, but other times, entering new territory can feel lonely. It can feel as if we're in a very difficult part of our season, and it's not always easy to be in there. So entering a new territory can be fun, it can be exciting, it can be good, but it also can be very hard and very difficult. And sometimes we enter new territory with mixed emotions. That is, happy and sad, good, bad, and all kinds of feelings. Like for a mom, when she sent off her daughter for the first time to kindergarten, that can bring new mixed emotions. For the daughter, it was exciting. For the mom, a little bit of both. For us, we just took Caitlin back, and now she's back in college for her second year. So we all have different emotions, and sometimes with good feelings coming about, and then sometimes with difficult feelings coming about. So we are going to look at the story today about a Canaanite woman and Jesus as well, and how they both entered into new territory in this story, both physically and symbolically. They both entered into new territory. It turns out the disciples and the Gentiles are also going to be entering into New Testament territory in this story. So this story we're going to look at today is a story about a mom who is very preoccupied with the care and the task of taking care of her daughter. It consumes all her thoughts and all her energy, and this is what the story is about today. As we look at these two stories, it's about a mom whose daughter is demon-possessed. And we don't know how often, what depth that occurs to, but we can imagine that it means that her child is tormented and thrown into fits. The mom, we can imagine, would really like to have normalcy to her day, but she doesn't. Her attention is not in that, not in the feeding and the care and the teaching, the cooking, the sewing, the tending to the animals, or the care of the household. Her whole thought is front and center on that demon possession of her child. How she must have longed for a regular day for her daughter. How she must have longed for a chance to play with others, for her daughter to play with other kids. How she must have longed for a new season. and I imagine that mother herself was tormented. How she did not like to hear the painful noises and the hurt that was associated to her daughter's infliction. How she could not bear it any longer. This woman was in a desperate season, very desperate season. Now let us look at the reading of God's Word and see what God has in store for us to learn today. And may the reading of God's Word evoke change in our hearts and transform us both as listeners and doers of God's holy word. Let us turn to that. Matthew 15, starting at verse 21. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. Let's all turn to Mark 7 and look at the reading there as well. It's titled here the Syrophoenician's woman faith, which is both basically Gentile area as well, and both of them is Canaanite. So it's about a region and a particular group, but all within that area. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house, and he did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had had unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast out that demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go." The demon left her daughter. She went home, found the child laying on the bed, and the demon gone. See, Jesus had traveled from the area of Jerusalem, and he now was above Lower Galilee and above Upper Galilee and into this region along the coastline. Now, we don't know how far he traveled into there, but we can say it was a good day's journey that he went into that territory. And if you think about that, if you think about him entering into new territory, this was not typical for Jesus. He had hung out only in the area that was considered Jewish. He'd only been in that area. He'd not been in Gentile area. This was very important to know. For most of Jesus' ministry up until this point, it had been focused only on Jewish people. Now, he had healed some people in Samaria, and he had healed the centurion's daughter, and possibly other healings that he'd had. But it mainly was focused on the Jews, the Jewish area. So Jesus, this is a unique situation. It is new. Jesus is physically outside of the Jewish territory. He has entered into new land. When comes to mind is the crossing of the Jordan situation back in the Old Testament, when God allowed the people to cross over Jordan into new territory. So this is similar to that, except for this time, Jesus is issuing or bringing into the land an understanding of a new covenant for everyone. Very important. The woman, she too is entering into new territory. In this case, not physically. This is her familiar territory, but spiritually. She is a Gentile in the land as she approaches Jesus. She's recognizing Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah, or the King. Remember that the author of Matthew, his concern is writing mostly to Jewish people. So this language is trying to get them to understand the huge impact of what is being stated and said and taught by Jesus at this time. In Mark, a Syrophoenician woman, while in Matthew described as a Canaanite woman. So at that point, we need to understand that there's big divisions between these two groups, big divisions. The Canaanite woman would have been from the history of where people would have worshiped Baal, the idol there. They would have been worshiping him and spending time worshiping him. So this is big, big difference between the two. So you need to understand that this is very, very important to understand that there, that this is different. These are two different people. He is now outside of his normal place, and she is entering in her into a new place for her too. All right? So this is doubly different because she's approaching Jesus, like I said, as the son of David, as a Gentile woman, but also as a woman. So her testimony would not have been valid. It just wouldn't have been meaningful. So this is where we're at right now in the story. So let's look back at verse 22 and see what it says. We're going to look in the book of Matthew. All right? Verse 22. Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. So we need to know that this is happening because this woman is very anguished. Jesus was definitely, she didn't answer. He didn't answer her immediately. It says right there in verse 23, but he did not answer her at all. Jesus, what benefit would this have been? Why would Jesus not have answered her right away? Why would Jesus not have answered her right away? I mean, that's an unusual thought. Jesus was not answering the woman right away. What benefit did it serve? What was he trying to put into place? This woman appeared very anguished. Jesus was definitely getting the disciples' attention and everyone else that was watching. This part is not included in Mark, but it is in Matthew. This was meant maybe perhaps as a teaching moment. But why do you think he didn't answer her quickly? I would say that definitely because he didn't answer her quickly, it gave us the chance to hear what the disciples would have responded, right? So what they were thinking. So verse 23, they couldn't figure it out. And then Jesus is building greater and greater attention to this. And see, for the disciples, they did not understand why they would answer. You see, for the disciples, they would have been wanting to hear Jesus say, send them away. Send them away. So right here, he said, send her away. It says, but he did not answer at all. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. You see, Jesus, the disciples were not comfortable. Rather, the disciples were not comfortable knowing that Jesus was going to be talking to this Canaanite woman. You see, they weren't comfortable with this. Jesus is bringing greater and greater attention, and he replies, I was only sent to the lost sheep, to the house of Israel. Can you imagine what the disciples were doing as they turn around and were seeing this? They were probably saying, see, you have gone way over the line. You cannot come up and approach me. This is way over the line. You can't do this. You are asking too much to speak to Jesus. You need to go. They were probably saying, security, security, you need to go, and shaking their head. What happens next is very remarkable. The person does not move back. This woman does not move back, but she pursues closer to him. How were the onlookers taking this all in? Were they very confused by this woman's actions of resolute pursuit, or were they becoming angrier and angrier as this foreigner, as Jesus in the land, who is appearing to casting off the Gentiles and setting them aside and showing them indifference, basically dismissing their dignity? What do you think the disciples were thinking? Jesus certainly didn't mean to include them, did he? Well, he might have been saying, what, love everyone? That just seemed really hard to believe. Do you remember also where Jesus says in John chapter 15, leave the 99 and find the lost one? Remember that after years and years, distancing was happening between these two groups. So let's put this situation in greater perspective. Just prior to the story, right there at the beginning of 15, it's talking about the tradition of the elders. It's talking about the need for the disciples to wash their hands properly. And Jesus is saying to them and explaining to them that it's not about washing your hands properly. It's about being clean on the inside. So this is one thing right before that that's an example. And if you look at verse 8, it says, "The people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they do not worship. They worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." See, Jesus wants them to know that a person is not clean by hand washing, but made clean by the inside of a person. All right? So if you look back just a little farther in chapter 12 of Matthew, we get another example. And the other example this time is about the wheat or the grain being plucked on the Sabbath. So on this story alone, he is trying to explain another custom or law that they need to consider. And this one is that if they pluck grain and eat it, that the Pharisees, they thought, well, you're breaking the law. That's not what you're supposed to do on a Sunday. You can't do that. But for him, he was saying that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he is the one that determines, because he's bringing in a new covenant. So this seems unimaginable, that they are entering into new territory, that God would be accepting everybody into the kingdom of God. So now this is what happens next. She does not go away, but in verse 25, let's see what it says. "But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" This is huge also, because what she's saying is that I am going to kneel before you. I'm going to let you guys know that I'm going to worship him. I see him as the great healer, and I'm going to bow before him and worship him. Very, very important to see that, because what she is saying is that she's entering into new territory as a Gentile, recognizing that I don't want to worship Baal. Those are not but pretend gods. They're not real gods. There's only one God, and I recognize that he is it, and I'm going to bow before him, and he alone will be my God. I'm going to bow before him. And then she says, "I need your help." He answered, he said, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Mark's versions read, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." So a little bit softer said, but still both showing that in this case, y'all, the Jews would be considered the children, okay? And the dogs in this case would be considered the Gentiles. Very important to understand that. In the Greek, this word is meaning small dog or household dog. Still not a nice term, but not as derogatorily stated as in Matthew 7. So how had the Canaanite people not had enough shame? Were they never to be filled, like they could be freed of feeling of lacking? Were the Jewish folks asked to compromise what they had been taught all their lives? So you can see this is coming together. This is coming together and becoming and reaching to a higher peak. So verse 27, let's look at that. It says, she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." You see, she realized she had no right to receive from God, but she had great faith and believed that God was all-powerful and that he could heal anyone and everyone. So she had no doubt, but she believed. But this person believed that a time for newness had come. Healing can take place in the heart of everyone. She believed that. Everyone who is unclean can be made clean through faith in Jesus. The story of Lazarus is another time in which Jesus did not respond quickly, if you all recall that. It took him a couple days to get back over across the river there. And when he did, remember, he asked and he told Martha that the delay happened so that the glory of God could be revealed. Being in a waiting period is so hard. Wanting to see God's glory revealed should be front and center, though. It should be the most important thing. It should be front and centered. whatever it takes, glorifying God should be the most important thing. If that means waiting, it is hard to do, but we have to do that sometimes. When the Canaanite people, were these people, this woman and the people in this area, were they going to be allowed to come to the table? Not under the table, but invited to the wedding feast. Were they going to be allowed to that? Let's look at the next verse. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. So Jesus immediately acknowledged her faith. Notice the exclamation mark that's at the end of verse 28. Rather, my version has an exclamation mark on it. Let it be done as you wish. Her daughter was healed instantly. Now, when that mama and that daughter got back together, what do you think was the very first thing they did? You think she hugged her really tight for a very long, long time? After that hugging, do you think then they went to go play? Did they skip? Did she go rejoice? Or do you wonder if the very first thing she did was sit at her daughter right with her and say, "I want to tell you about the healer, the great and mighty, awesome healer. He is who I want to tell you about first." We need to look at that and think about that. At that moment, Jesus is teaching us that no matter what territory or what state by which we exist, you can receive the healing touch of Jesus who is present throughout the land if you believe. In Isaiah 40, 3 through 5, you're welcome to turn there if you want. Isaiah 40, 3 through 5. One of my favorite verses. It says, "A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" All people shall see it together, for the Lord has spoken. No food law is required, or washing of ourselves outside is necessary, but all who come can be made clean. Every demonic or unclean spirit can be healed in us. This is possible when our hearts are willing to believe. The lost sheep of Israel is extended to all, and all hearts can receive the healing touch of Jesus. All. The disciples entered into new territory when they learned this from Jesus. The Gentiles entered into new territory as they learned this from Jesus and the Phoenician woman. And for Jesus, he entered into new territory. And for the Canaanite woman, she entered into new territory. And as we look at the steps of her action and the teachings, we can also parallel what she can teach us, or the person can teach us. We learn from her that we seek. We never stop seeking. We remain focused and persevere not to get detoured. We do not have time to get detoured. I guess get a droid. I did. So everybody, stay on track. Stay focused. Don't get out of your territory. We are to worship. That's the second thing she did. She paused to worship. She recognized Jesus' worship. You see, that praise and thankfulness, sitting, standing, jumping, or resting in his presence. In the midst of that woman's pain, she stopped and first worshiped Jesus. That was her priority. So she continued to seek. She worshiped, and then the other thing that this woman did, we need to be like her, and that is willing to enter into new territory because of the hope we have in finding Jesus, as this woman did. In this new territory, she received new insight about Jesus, the mystery and the certain and definite hope when you're resting in that place of entering in new territory. can be healing and transforming, so real and so alive when we enter into that presence and that territory with Jesus. So important to get this. Now, the step of this action and the depth of this understanding also gives us some insight. And that is, first of all, when you read the story, if you read it real quickly, the first thing you're going to get is God healed her daughter. You can think that this would be enough to gain from the story. We recognize real quickly, Jesus is healing. He's got the healing touch. That's everything to all of us in here. Jesus heals us each and every day. He has the healing touch. But more than that, this story shows us that we can be used as a conduit to heal those close to us. It's as if Jesus was holding on to this woman's hand, and this woman was holding on to her daughter's hand, being used as a conduit so that she could heal, because God was working through her. The Holy Spirit was working in and through her. His power was working through her to be used to her daughter. Now, not only that, but God's power can rather reach one person, but also all of us in here can be used as a vessel so that we can help bring freedom to all those that don't know Christ, and that this person's action led to being fully accepted and being made whole by Jesus. So Jesus is all about the healing touch. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save and to that which is lost. You see, this woman was a vessel. She allowed Jesus into this new territory. She welcomed him. She worshiped him. And we too can be a vessel. We can be a conduit, and we can also be a vessel. And that's what this story is showing, the depth of this story. It goes way deep, way deep. Every story does, though, in Jesus' good book, doesn't it? Every story does as we ponder and study his holy word. All people, all races, Jews, Gentiles, Samaritans, and Greeks, all live within the territory of Jesus as his mercy, his love, is extended to all the four corners of the world, and we too are to share that to others. No matter the amount, when we come to eat at the table with Jesus, we are satisfied and made whole. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bring to us the bravery to come forward into new territory if we do not know you. And at this time, Lord, if we have not entered into a relationship with you, Lord, have the Holy Spirit just prompt us and move us, move any of us, each and every one of us, so that we are constantly changing and transforming. But if we have not ever given a clear commitment to you, Lord, this very day, let us do so. This very day. And Lord, help us to be a conduit to others and help us to enter into new territory. Help us to go through the uncomfortableness of it. Help us to know that you're going to be with us in every step and that it's your power and through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us that we are able to enter into new territory with a boldness and a renewal each and every time we go through it. Help us to recognize that we are entering into new territory. Help us to rest that you will show us how, and the words to say, and the things to learn from it. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Daniel, you got it?
Drawn regret, the truth of a thousand lies. So let mercy come and wash away what I've done. I'll face myself to cross out what I've become. Erase myself and let go of what I've done. Put to rest what you thought of me. Will likely mislay with the hands of uncertainty. So let mercy come and wash away what I've done. I face myself to cross out what I've become. Erase myself and let go of what I've done. For what I've done, I'll start again. And whatever thing may come, today this ends. I'm forgiving what I've done. I'll face myself to cross out what I've given.